How would you define paradise? Apparently one is an egg. Right? There's the commercials on TV that show the husband and wife, I imagine, to meet their husband and wife, and they each have their own bathtub. Have you seen that one? And they're holding hands, and they're gazing out at an ocean view, you know, very romantic and all, and paradise. Paradise. For another person, it might be a mountain retreat, where you have the cabin and the fireplaces going and, you know, everything is exquisite. And if you love snow, it's white outside. And if you don't like snow, it's just the mountain retreat and you got the trees and, you know, maybe birds and stuff like that. And you can sit down on the deck. And if you like coffee, you got your favorite mug and maybe you like a glass of wine and you have your favorite beverage and you would be sitting there and you kind of look at each other and you go, now this is paradise. The children are at grandma's. That was a commercial for you. Paradise, what would you call it? How would you describe it? For some, it's when you've been traveling, you've been on the road, maybe you've visited family and friends, you went to your school reunion, you've been gone for maybe a week or two, and you get home and you got your own bed. And that bed has lumps just in the right place, you know, and you think, boy, this is my house. This is my bed. This is living. Paradise. How do you describe paradise? Maybe it's when all the family is together. The grandkids, great-grandkids, you know, the family. And there you are gathered and everybody's talking and maybe there's a lot of food and so everybody's talking with their mouth full, but you're not offended. You just see all of this love and all the relationship and all the connection and you go, this is living. This is paradise. But we have a dilemma. We don't live in mountain retreats. The last I checked, Murfreesboro is not by the ocean shore. You know, and maybe the kids keep coming home. Or maybe the family can't get together this year. Or maybe there's family members who have passed away and their soul now is with Christ and their body rest until the day of resurrection and that hurts and yet it's good news and yet it hurts and we wouldn't necessarily call those moments paradise. As people who live in the resurrection, we have a really weird, according to the world, we have a really odd perspective. When you're alive in Christ, because you are alive in Christ, you have paradise. When the Bible talks about how the peace of Christ surpasses all human understanding, it is about the perspective you have right now, paradise. And one day, you're even going to have it better. When Christ comes and the day of resurrection has happened, and all the family of God is together. And you're going to see some disciples that you never saw before. And you're going to see some people that you never knew before. But it will be okay. And in that new heaven and in that new earth, there's no war, there's no cancer, there's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no family quarrels, there's no, where's mine? It is the perfect bliss. But we still have a problem. As we live in this world, and as we breathe this air, and as we eat this food, and as we put up with this stuff, we seem overwhelmed, and we do not live as people who have paradise now and in the fullness to come. We tend to live a little grumpy. We tend to complain. We tend to frown. We tend to nitpick. Yuck! You know. We tend to gripe. The purpose of Easter is to help regain our perspective, not by the power of positive thinking, okay, re-imaging, okay, self-determination, but by the power that is the greatest power of all, the power that overcame sin, death, and the devil. Do you know any power bigger? Your cordless drill doesn't have that. Your Hoover vacuum cleaner doesn't have it. Your Hemi engine isn't even stronger than that. Do you understand the power of God in the resurrection? For the Romans, that power, that authority, said to the world, the Romans do not have the authority to keep him condemned. To the temple leaders of that day, it said, you can't have your way when your way is wicked. You are powerless. No matter how much you demand, no matter what rank you have, no matter how much influence you have in the world, you will not win. And to the devil himself, he said, you're done. The devil is defeated. The power of the resurrection is unlike any other, and it establishes paradise, new life in Christ, once and for all, as the sins of the world have been paid for on the cross, and by His resurrection we live. The message of Easter is not one of, well, I hope so. You know, it's not one, maybe I'll get in. But it's what Christ has achieved for us right now for all. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe. It's a beautiful message in this empty tomb. It is an awesome message when the angel says, He is risen. And I understand the struggles like Peter and the women, especially Mary Magdalene. What did you do with him? You know, it's so far outside our box that the body's gone. Or even that, have you always believed everything people told you? You know, and someone comes and tells you Jesus is alive, and the guys go, no way. It was outside their thinking. Even though Jesus had told them, the Son of Man must suffer and die, and on the third day, rise again. And they had a hard time putting that together with what had just taken place. So you know how the Bible, you're familiar with the book, right? Okay? You know how the Bible says there's one unforgivable sin. It's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. There's only one unforgivable sin. Okay? I know the Bible doesn't do this, but if it would, if you were to label the most ridiculous sin, the absolute most ridiculous sin, what do you think it would be? I think, personal opinion, okay? I think it's when Christians live as if they're still dead. When do we do that? It's when we doubt. It's when we're afraid. When we believe there's no hope. When we've given up joy. I think that's when we live as if we're spiritually dead. We talk that way, dead people talk, no spiritual life in us, there's no good, it's just awful. There's no paradise when we are spiritually in those moments acting as if we're spiritually dead. I think it's the most ridiculous because it denies, it renounces that Easter was real. Is Easter real? What do you think? Take your time. You know, we think, I know Lutherans do a lot of traditional things. You know, are you ready? He is risen. Yeah, what you just said is Jesus is alive, and because He's alive, I'm alive. So why am I acting like dead? Peter doubted. Dead. Mary wept. Dead. Do you understand? In those moments, there was no joy. And in those hours, there was only the perspective of the world. And the world's perspective is, this just can't be. It makes no sense. And yet, the Bible says, this, as Luther would have said, is most certainly true, right? Did Christ die for you? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. Is Christ the Son of God? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. Did Christ rise from the dead? Yes. Okay. Are you guys alive? You sure? Do you understand? The passion that we have is because we have paradise. It's not because my bank account is really, really big. It's not because there's a turkey roasting at home and I will be done in a little bit. It's not because the things of this world that come and go. And God does give us many blessings. And I don't want to renounce and say this stuff isn't good. Many of us are really blessed. But as health fades, as age increases, as politics drives us nuts, right? We can be like a sponge and absorb the spiritual deadness of the world and the community around us. And that is not a good thing. And so every year, in fact, every Sunday, it's a celebration of people who live in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Sunday is a day in which we are alive in Christ. It's not something we brag about like, I'm alive in Christ and you aren't. Okay? It's we are given a gift, undeserving gift, of a resurrected Lord who wasn't in the tomb because we yanked him out, but he wasn't in the tomb because God raised him. And this we believe. And every day, with every breath, and with every beat of our heart, we have the opportunity to live in the paradise status of God's grace. Every day, with every beat of our heart, with every breath, we can confess our sins, and God responds, "You are forgiven." Every day, with every beat of our heart, with every breath, and with every thought in my brain, which sometimes are really slow, I can still get there by the power of the Holy Spirit to remember the words, He is risen. He is alive. Easter is more than just a church tradition. Easter is more than a family habit. Easter is a purview of why we have joy every day of the year. And it is a renewal that no matter of the circumstances of our physical existence, which sometimes is really rough, we can still smile right inside here. Because when I'm alive in Christ, this is paradise. This is living. This is God's grace in action in our flesh. And as Job said a long time ago, even though my flesh will pass away and my body will decay, yet in my flesh, you remember what he says? I will see God face to face. The ultimate paradise is yet to come. But in his grace, right now, it's pretty good. It is tough in our sinful nature to resist the ridiculous sin, isn't it? I won't make you raise your hand, but how many of you have had a grumpy day this year already? Right? Okay. You see, we are so silly. Boy, is God's love so good. Because to us silly, crazy, ridiculous children, he still says, and he reminds us, you ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen.